Chairman, just a couple of points. I want to pick you up on your comment that a lot of the figures that you see reported in annual reports for executive pay don't ever actually materialise. Now, there's been a number of studies on this. I cite one in particular by Institutional Shareholder Services, which shows that, to the contrary, the vast majority of the executive salary figures over the last 3 years printed in major company annual reports have grossly understated the actual benefits that have gone to senior executives. And the cumulative figure across the top 50 companies would be somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion. So I think it's a bit odd to come here and say the complete reverse, which is what you said.
Well, I'd certainly like to dispute what you've just said, because it's quite misleading. What Mr. Main's referring to is the fact that when an equity instrument is granted to an employee, that is, say you provide a share as part of the remuneration, one share at $40, it's recorded as a $40 benefit. Now, if the executive then, and that's, I think, we would all say a very reasonable way of treating it, because you could give the executive $40 cash and they'd go out and buy a share on the stock market and that would be the end of the story. What Mr. Main's referring to is that if that's as part of a share scheme, you grant the share to the executive and there's a $40 benefit recorded, and time goes by and the share price goes to $200 and there's no reporting of the $160 increase in that case. And nor should there be. That's something the executive could have bought himself and like all shareholders, enjoyed the benefits. Where it's generally referred to, and the sort of figures that Mr. Main talked about, is in relation to options. When you grant somebody an option over a share, the value that's determined is according to a thing called the Black-Scholes method. And so if I grant an executive an option over a share that has a strike price of $40, that is, the executive has to pay $40 at some time in the next 5 years. The granting of that option is deemed to have a value which is estimated by the Black-Scholes method at a much smaller figure, say $10, and I don't know what it would be today. And so the $10 is then entered as the benefit received by the executive. If the share price falls over the next 5 years, in that case, the executive never exercises the option, and the $10 benefit that he or she is determined or reported to have received turned out not to have been a benefit. But it was nice to have it. It was an opportunity to pay $40 for a share in the next 5 years. If the share price increases to $200 and the executive exercises an option for $40 and receives a benefit of $160, the $160 isn't reported in the same way that in the earlier illustration the share price increase wasn't reported. Now, that's an entirely reasonable treatment. If, as you know, some companies issue options that are listed on the stock exchange, and you can go and buy that option for $10, and it gives you the right to pay $40 for a share any time in the next 5 years. And there's no doubt what it's cost you is $10. That's the benefit you received if somebody gave it to you, and that's what should be reported. So it's not a valid point that's being made. It is, I think, an entirely reasonable, sensible way of recording remuneration. What I was referring to is a quite different issue, and that is there are performance tests applied to these equity instruments, and that is the company has to perform to a certain level, and if they don't perform, you never even get the option, you never even get the right to exercise. You never receive the performance share if that's what was issued, and that's a quite separate thing.